This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds. And find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
New show, new sponsor, new month. It's time for another NHL Action Network collaboration. Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen as we unveil Bet365. Pete, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Nick? Yeah, really excited about this initiative, Bet365. Great to partner up with them. They've already hooked us up with some great adjustments based on the Patrick Kane news of last week and, of course, his debuting coming soon. So excited to get to everything, Nick.
And also very excited to bring in the one and only Michael Leboff from the Line Change Podcast and the Action Network. What's going on, Leboff?
Yeah, I have a Bet365 mug, but I don't know where it is right now. I would have held it up.
We might have to get you a new one here.
I know. I think our producer for Line Change, Matt Mitchell, he might have forgot to give it to me. But I'm
well,
to
somebody put in a call. Great to be with you. We can start there because there is an expectation, I think, growing in the hockey world. Patrick Kane could make his debut on Tuesday in Buffalo. I mentioned this on NHL Fantasy on Ice. I'll be fading Detroit in the first game. I like the Sabres to finally do something, hopefully, fingers crossed. But in general, long-term prospects betting-wise on Detroit, how do you see it?
When we saw Kane go to the Rangers last year, I came on this podcast pretty quickly after, and all of us were in agreement that people were just overreacting to the move. This was a guy who was clearly not at 100%. He did... his best skills were something the Rangers were already over-indexed in, mm-hmm. and they made it even, they oversaturated themselves even further with then Tarasenko and then Kane. The difference here, I think, is that we're not going to see Kane play as big a role or come in and look to play as big a role as he did in New York. And also, I don't think that the Red Wings have an overabundance of players like Kane. Still, though, I'm with you. I don't think it makes them better. The odds are always going to move when a player like Patrick Kane, there's all this hoopla around him because of his profile, and when he goes to a new team, bookmakers know that there's a chance that people will rush to the window to bet it because they see Patrick Kane is now on the Red Wings. But like you, I'm skeptical here. The one thing I will say, though, is it does show an intent from Detroit, and I wonder if that is something just to look into more than the actual on-ice impact, which is... This team was on the fringe of the playoff picture all of last year. People didn't really think they would take a step forward or significant step forward this year. By bringing in someone like that, at least it shows that we're going to give this thing a real go and reward our guys for a strong start. And the Atlantic is open. Like there's some spots open in the Atlantic and the East because teams that everybody thought were going to be good. I mean, everybody was on the Sabres. I was skeptical of them before the season started, but so many people thought the Sabres were just going to be a shoo-in into the playoffs, and same with the Senators. And look, like it's really hard to do that. And getting Patrick Kane can at least help show the Red Wings, the roster, we're going to do our best here. We're going to support you guys. We're going to go out there and try to keep improving this team because you deserve it.
I thought it was an interesting nugget when you heard that Patrick Kane was impressed by Derek Lalonde, and you see the odds shift after Kane signed the one-year contract from 16-1 to 12-1 for Lalonde to win the Jack Adams. I know Tockett's the favorite right now. I know there's a nice storyline with Tortorella and some of these other surprises around the league, but if Detroit keeps this thing going, makes the playoffs, maybe even contends for the Atlantic Division title, Mike, I mean, you think there's a real play here on Lalonde?
Yeah, I think if you were going to bet into Detroit in any way, that's probably the best way to do it. I wouldn't really look at anything correlated with like DeBrincat or the Red Wings to win the division. If you think that they're going to win the division, just take Lalonde to win the Jack Adams, because even if they come up a little short or they just make the playoffs, he'll still be live. I do think that the bookmakers maybe have this one wrong still with Rick Tockett at the top, because we might have seen the best from Vancouver. I think that we'll start to see them level off. We were calling for that about a month ago. It started to happen. I still think this is a really good team, but I don't think that they're going to contend at that top of that Pacific Division with teams like Los Angeles and Vegas. And if they get pulled back into the shuffle, I still think that the door is wide open for some other coaches, and the Jack Adams alone being one of them. Andre Tourigny is 20-1. He drifted back to 20-1, and I would, if you're not part of the crew that bet him, before the season. I think that that's a good number because the Coyotes are playing some good stuff. Craig Berube is a long shot right now. Like, he's interesting. So, yeah, I think that that this race is wide open. People thought that Tocchet and Laviolette and Tortorella are kind of running away with it, but I would say not so fast on that one.
Our friends over at Bet365, as Pete alluded to, sent us some great numbers looking at before the signing, after the signing. The biggest difference I see is Detroit making the playoffs, plus 120 before signing Patrick Kane, minus 125 after signing Patrick Kane. And I don't know, is that value still at minus 125? Because I think you look at the Atlantic, I mean, there's some teams still poking around there too. Eh?
I would say I don't like that number to bet them to make the playoffs at all. This is a team that they're doing what you need to do to win games, but there's still some flaws here. I don't know if I trust the goaltending enough to want to lay an odds on number. If you made me bet it, I would go the other way. But as you said, that Atlantic division, it's crazy, man. I've got no idea. Could just be three coming out of that division. Who knows where the Lightning are going to be? By the time we talk next, all these teams are all over the place. It's really a Jackson Pollock painting with basically every team in the East right now. So I don't really trust any of them. So if you are laying money, right, you're laying minus 125 on a team, you better trust them that they've got their act together. And it does seem like Detroit does, but do you trust them to keep their act together? And I don't know.
I think the odds to miss are intriguing because you look at them from an advanced analytics standpoint, Mike, and their PDO is third highest in the NHL. Their shot attempts percentage is fifth worst in the NHL. Those are two bad indicators about what Detroit has done to this point, indicating that they've overachieved. So you agree with that, I'm sure. I mean, those are two things that we always look at when there are big surprises going on around the league.
Yeah, their statistical portfolio has lagged, I would say, behind some of the other teams in the Atlantic. The one thing I will give Detroit credit for is they have a game plan. It seems like if you put together their high danger chances for and against in a game, or their expected goals against for and against in a game, you could see that this team is trying to play low event. They just want to keep this. They want to turn it into a soccer match where it's they can get it to be like 3-2 as that's like a crazy game for them, because they know they've got the finishers from and Kane helps in that regard with his playmaking ability, with guys like DeBrincat, Dylan Larkin, Daniel Sprong, David Perron, these guys who will cash in on good scoring chances, whereas they'll bet on those guys in a game where maybe they lose a scoring chance battle 8-10 to still come out on top. So yeah, they definitely don't have the traditional statistical portfolio that people would be looking for to bet on a team at an odds-on number to make the playoffs.
Leboff, talk about low event. The Los Angeles Kings have been quite the story so far this season, and we alluded to it earlier in the campaign that we like Cam Talbot as sort of a bounce-back candidate, and he's been incredible, and I've actually taken a flyer on him to win the Vezina Trophy this season. I mean, I don't think it's extreme considering what we've seen, but how would you attack the LA Kings now 14-4-3 out of the gates here?
Los Angeles, to me, is the best team in the NHL, they are ninth favorite in some places. Like, they're still behind teams like the Devils, the Hurricanes. I'd even put them ahead of Vegas at this point. This is a really, really good team. This is a really, really deep team. This is a team that is set up to weather storms that you'll face inevitably over an 82 game season playing a sport like hockey. They're so deep down the middle. Their blue line is exceptional, and they play with such a sound structure that Talbot comes into such a good situation. I think it was Kevin Woodley was the one who pointed out that Talbot was a goalie to buy before the season started, and I was shaking my head because I thought he's a goalie playing 36 season, and we've probably seen the best from him. But the point was that he's coming into such a good situation, so I don't hate the look on the Vezina. But I think that this team, there's like 14-1s and 16-1s still out there on them to win the Stanley Cup. I think those numbers will be long gone, and wouldn't be surprised if by the time Santa's done making his rounds, the Kings are the Stanley Cup favorite.
I like the confidence. Plus 1,300 on Bet365. Interesting note that Edmonton is plus 1,400. So maybe even though they're gaining respect by the day, the LA Kings, their arch nemesis that they lose to the playoffs every year, is right on their tail even after a disastrous start. The Oilers are playing pretty well. And when you look at the, whether it's the Kings or the Oilers to win that division, there's definitely some intrigue because Vegas is piling up the injuries, Aiden Hill, Shea Theodore, and Vancouver could be regressing at some point as well.
Yeah, I think that Los Angeles should be the odds-on favorite at this point, basically, to win Pacific. Because as you said, Vegas, like they put together such a good start, but and they bought themselves time, but the way that their roster is constructed, they're going to deal with some hurdles throughout the regular season, and we're seeing it now. Whereas I think the Kings are just ready to withstand that kind of stuff. The one thing that does scare me about betting Los Angeles, whether it's to win the Stanley Cup or to win the Western Conference, is finishing first in the Pacific might end up being not a great thing, because you might end up taking on Edmonton if they, you know, get their act together and they get hot right before the playoffs in a sort of a Florida Panthers sort of way we saw last year. That's a really tough first round matchup. So it's just one thing to have in the back of your mind when playing these futures is it's the same in the Central, right? You're going to want to finish first in maybe want to finish second in the Central, because you could at least that way avoid Edmonton in the first round if there's a crossover situation too. So that stuff, maybe it's getting too far ahead of ourselves, but it's always something to keep in mind, is try to path it out, and then you'll start to see, okay, is this number actually worth it? Do they pay off at better than 13, 14, 15 to 1?
Again, I still like that Chris, don't call me Chuck Knobloch look for the Jack Adams this year, man. One of my favorite Yankees of all time, aside from Derek Sanderson Jeter, of course. The new coach bump. I always love having this conversation. You know how I feel about it. I always mash the team after making an in-season change. You look at Minnesota, Dean Evason out, John Hines in. They're 3-0-0. Have outscored their opponents 13-3. Their four-game roadie this week, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, Seattle. And we could tie that into the Oilers. They've won four in a row. They got three home games this week, Carolina, Minnesota, New Jersey, coming off some time off here as well.
Yeah, I think it's time to bet against the Wild again.
Okay.
I think it's you know, they've been doing this all season. Like, the numbers have kind of been the same. They've been impressive under the surface. It's just the goaltending has let them down. They're finally starting to get some goaltending. They're finishing their chances, and they're winning, but I still think those flaws are going to be there, especially with maybe Philip Gustafson has a better chance to catch something and start surging up, finding some form compared to Fleury. But I think that this still is a team that they don't have the scoring depth and the talent depth to win games when they're not winning on the margins and goaltending and special teams. So they, like you said, they go 3-0 under the new coach. People are going to start piling on now. They see the trend happening. They think, oh, the Wild are back. They are playing some good stuff, but they've been playing good stuff for a while. So I think that you're going to see this team get really, really inflated in the betting market because of the new coach bounce being. It's a real phenomenon, right? It's in every sport, it's, and especially in hockey, where effort really, really, really matters. Like, if just outworking a team really gives you a good chance to win a game, no matter if you're the 32nd best team or the best team in the NHL. So once that novelty maybe wears off a bit, we could see them start to come back down to earth from this little mini streak.
He's not going to win it, but how can Bill Guerin not be in company for GM of the Year, Pete? He's got, like, what, 14 mil against the cap in buyouts? Like,
it is very tough. They've had to make some difficult deals, the Fiala one, the Addison one. I mean, the list goes on from the past couple of years, Mike. I mean, I think it's interesting to back up what you were just saying. Minnesota, to this point in the season, fifth best 5-on-5 shooting percentage in the NHL. That could easily come down. And, you know, with all due respect to better days ahead for Kaprizov and Matt Boldy, you know, for every other guy, there's some deficiencies in that lineup. I do like the angle of playing some of their defensemen in the props market. Heavy workload on Jared Spurgeon, 3 assists in 3 games under Hines. And also, even Jonas Brodin has a nice shot volume if you play shot props out there. I feel like the Wild success is always from the back end out, Mike.
It is. And we saw, it was funny that people were waiting for Spurgeon to get back in the lineup and say, okay, we'll that's when we'll start to make our make our move on the Wild. He gets back in, and they lost their first few games with him in. And but yeah, I just think, first of all, I think defensemen always fly under the radar in those kind of prop markets. I'm not as into it as you two guys are. But you look at the numbers. I thought, like, Noah Dobson was paying off in a big way for my Islanders early on in the season in that regard. So if you are noticing those things, like, that's something where the eye test with a new coach really does help out, like just watching how he's deploying guys, who's getting the ozone starts, who they're playing with, if he's pairing them a lot with the Kaprizov line, stuff like that. Really, you know, if that's in your toolkit, it's going to help you.
This is a loaded question. What are the San Jose Sharks doing? From a betting point of view, Leboff, you know this, you both know this, like, they're providing crazy value. They've covered in 5 of 6. Are you backing them? They got a three game road trip this week. Islanders, Detroit, Vegas. How are you looking, or how are you attacking the San Jose Sharks, Leboff?
Yeah, I bet on them against the Devils over the weekend. It went really well. It was, I actually threw a little on the reverse puck line too, because like, Devils goaltending is, might as well just pick on them while we still can. But one of my colleagues has a saying that the moment that everyone declares a team dead is the exact moment you want to start betting them. And that's what we saw with the Sharks, right? They've started to clip wins at a 25th best team in the NHL rate over the past few weeks here. And if they continue to do that, you can make a ton of money on this team, because they're still being priced like they're they were looking like the historically bad team right out of the gates. They're not going to be fun to bet. They're going to get caved in more often than not. You're just going to need the goalies to, like, Kaapo Kähkönen was really good in that Devils game. We've seen Blackwood put on some blood and thunder shows as well. But they're working hard. They've got a lot of guys who are maybe playing for some trade deadline situations. So I think that I thought I was throwing them on my betting blacklist after they lost. I bet on them when they lost the 10-2 to the Canucks.
Good 10-1 job.
To the Canucks. I bet on them again the next time that they played, when they lost. They gave up a 10 spot again. And I was like, I can't do it again. But here I am. I'm still betting on them. They're paying off. And it's just a good reminder. I think we saw it with the Ducks as well. We've seen it with the Blue Jackets, the Predators. As soon as everybody sees a team just they think is circling the drain and says this team's done, they're going to play out the string. I mean, it's November. Now it's early December. Like, these teams aren't just going to lay over. It's not college football where teams are like, we're done. There's no chance we can make a bowl or playoff or whatever. This is the NHL. Like, people are going to continue to go. So those teams have paid off. The Ducks obviously took a little bit, but the Blue Jackets, the Predators, and the Sharks had started to trend up and get results.
And on the flip side, Mike, if you look at some of the most surprising teams out there, how do you treat a team like the Philadelphia Flyers that went into Pittsburgh over the weekend and stole a game in the shootout? They've been a gutsy team under Tortorella that can come at you in many different ways. I mean, is this a playoff caliber team? Is their goaltending good enough? Or are you just hitting this team in the props market, like guys like Owen Tippett I love in the shot prop department?
I think you could just almost – you can't make a hard and fast rule in betting and just, like, blindly bet it, and it gets dangerous, right? But the Flyers are pretty close to that for me, which is if they're an underdog, they're interesting. Every time the Flyers are an underdog, they're interesting. Every time they're a favorite, I'm interested in going against them, because they're good at 5-on-5. They're not going to get caved in like your typical underdogs do in the NHL, which is, like the Sharks, you're betting on hope, and can they hold on? Can they get to, like, the 18-20 shot range, score 3 or 4, maybe they catch the other goalie on an off night and their goalie outperforms whoever the opposition is. The Flyers are not hoping. They're going to play teams to basically a coin flip at 5-on-5, and they're going to push the game to the margins, and you're going to flip a coin and see who comes out on top. And that's very dangerous when you're a favorite, but it's very good when you're an underdog. And I think that the numbers have shown that. So, like, when the Flyers are sitting -150 or -170 against teams like Columbus or Montreal, I've got no interest in them really. But when they're +120 at home against a team like the Penguins, or I think they're shorter than that tonight, but they're always going to be interesting to me. Like that game against the Islanders was a really good example. A couple of weeks ago, the both teams were on a back-to-back, but the Flyers had a better schedule spot because their game the previous day was in the afternoon. The Islanders were traveling from Ottawa. They were down two defensemen, and they still were a pretty significant underdog on the road against the Islanders. They end up winning in a shootout 1-0. But those are the kind of situations you should always circle with this Flyers team, because you know the effort's going to be there. Most nights the goaltending's going to be there, and it's just going to be about what team wins on the margins with pucks going in the back of the net.
Nick Alberga's Fraud List brought to you by Bet365, the first ever fraud list via Nick Alberga. Ottawa, Buffalo, both frauds. New Jersey Devils, you're also a fraud. 11-10-1, they got a four-game roadie this week. Vancouver, Seattle, Calgary, Edmonton. I thought, might as well spice up this podcast. Are you still Fade City on the New Jersey Devils? Pete, I know you want to chime in here. You love the Devils, so let's hear it.
Well, I'm not fading the New Jersey Devils for the rest of the season. I think they're pretty equipped even without Dougie Hamilton. We talked about it on the fantasy show today, Mike. Like, just step in Nemich, power play one. You know, Luke Hughes was already up there to begin with, but I think he's just fine to hang around. And then one team I wanted to throw in there that is not a fraud, in my opinion, is the Winnipeg Jets. They've really impressed me from a betting lens. I see their home underdogs again on Monday against the Hurricanes. On top of everything else Nick just said, wanted to hear your thoughts on the Jets, Mike.
Yeah, I think that the Devils are what I just said about when people start calling them dead. I'm waiting for them. I'm almost rooting for them to struggle a bit on this road trip because I think people will pull the plug on them, give up. Goaltending can't be fixed. You know, with a snap of the finger.
It can't be fixed.
Yeah, and then the Dougie Hamilton injury news, obviously. They're not getting much from certain depth players, and all is looking down on the Devils, but we know that the ceiling is so high with this team, so if they continue to struggle, I think that they'll pay off because the prices will start to come down on the Devils. I agree with you on the Sabres and Senators. I was betting against Buffalo from the minute the season started, and I'll continue to do it because I still think they're getting a little bit too much respect, and they're just a different team this season than they were last year. They're not scoring and creating any offense. It's very strange. We love the Jets, man. The Jets are the opposite. They're sort of in that Flyers range for me. Like, they deserve a lot more credit than they're getting from the betting market on almost a nightly basis, Winnipeg. They can beat you in a number of ways. They are very deep there. They remind me a little bit of the Kraken from last year, sans the goaltending. Whereas that Seattle team could roll four with every team in the NHL every night. And they all had their marching orders. They all followed their marching orders. Very cohesive team game. They've got a great scorer. Like the Kraken had McCann last year, who was on a torrid pace that the Jets have Kyle Connor. So this Jets team is really dangerous, I think. They're definitely just a team when we get to the playoffs, if they're in like the three spot in the Central or one of the wild card teams, I think that they're absolutely a team worth not just playing in those series, but also keeping an eye on a run too.
I was going to say there's a reason why Connor Hellebuck was the betting favorite to win the Vezina Trophy. Like, he's been lights out like the last 3 weeks, and I know because I have him in fantasy hockey. So I think if you can maybe squeak out a bit more value in that Vezina look right now when it comes to Hellebuck. But why don't we look at this six-game slate on this Monday brought to you by Bet365. One look I do like, and you guys might fade me on it, but Tampa, like, I'm a bigger believer in Tampa than most people are. They got destroyed over the weekend, 8-1. I'm expecting a bounce back tonight, Leboff.
Yeah, I'll probably be on the other side here.
Fair.
It is a bad spot. I've got more thinking on it to do. I've been going against Tampa since Vasilevsky came back because everybody was like, oh, Vasilevsky's back.
Yeah.
This is great. Well, he also hasn't played in six
it's
months.
True.
So he's got to let the guy work back in before we say Vasilevsky's back. It's a goaltender, too. Like, goaltending is very strange, and if you thought that was going to come in and cure all of Tampa's defensive issues, you were probably going to find out the hard way that wasn't going to be the case. I was higher on Tampa than most people were going into the season. I've been proven wrong. I accept that the team's defensive work has been really strange. I do think that they'll be good enough to pull themselves out. Braden Point is an interesting kind of sneaky Hart Trophy watch too, with the way he's producing very quietly because Kucherov's taking up all the oxygen. He would obviously need Kucherov, like a bunch of things to happen for him to get into contention. But this Lightning team's just not, I don't trust them enough. And I can't think of a like the Bruins come to mind, even though I know they beat the Bruins and played maybe their best game of the season against them a couple weeks ago. But Dallas, like Boston, these teams that are so sound structurally against the Lightning, who are still searching for that, that just screams bad matchup to me. But like you said, you did note that they're reeling right now. It does feel like a good buy low opportunity, and that's maybe what's keeping me off Dallas here. But I don't trust Tampa yet.
Dallas is a very good road team, 8-1-2 this season, and absolutely destroyed the Lightning over the weekend. This is the second of a home-and-home series. It should be very interesting. Nikita Kucherov, Mike, definitely has a glimmer for not only the Hart Trophy, but the scoring title and everything every which way. I thought it was an interesting line on Bet365 for this game against Dallas. Kucherov to score 2 goals against the Stars, plus 800. That's a big number, and it could easily happen considering he's leading the league in goals and about top 10 in leading the league in points and about top 10 in goals as well.
Yeah, he's someone who I've actually played a bunch of times. It's funny you brought that up because we didn't talk about this at all, but I've played him a bunch in like I'll build like a little lottery ticket on deeper slates with guys to score 2+. I actually did it last night with the wrong Boston Bruin, and I went with Pasternak instead of Marchand and Matt Boldy and Zibanejad, and I almost always put Kucherov in there because on you can tell from the first shift of a game if that guy's going to have a big game. I've never seen a player like that in my life. Maybe Alexei Yashin, but you just watch this guy come out of on hop over the boards, and if he's got that fire in his eye, you'll feel good about holding that ticket. It's not a bad look. The Stars are a little scary defensively, but at this point, if you're going to bet Kucherov to score almost, you know, plus 130-ish, why not take a flyer on him to go 2 or 3?
This one from producer Bobby likes the Vegas-St. Louis over on Monday night. I like Alex Ovechkin to score a goal against the Arizona Coyotes. If you remember way back, he scored that vintage Ovechkin goal. I just think he plays well against them. A 6-game drought for Ovi. Some other looks this week, like the Islanders in regulation. Everything I just said about the San Jose Sharks, I like the Isles in regulation against San Jose on Tuesday. I'm going to back the Wild against Calgary again on Tuesday. I mentioned this on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. I'm going to do a little Hughes prop on Tuesday, New Jersey at Vancouver. I'm going to take all three Hughes brothers to pick up a point. Thursday, Toronto at Ottawa. John Tavares point prop. He's getting some heat. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Getting some heat for a lackluster back check over the weekend. And the other look I like is Nashville at Toronto. Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Shen making the return. The Leafs lost in Nashville earlier this year, so I like the Leafs to return the favor. Any other looks here, Pete, that you like this week?
Yeah, I'll keep it going with the props market, baby. We got Josh Morrissey to have 2+ points against the Hurricanes. As good as the Hurricanes are defensively, he could get 2 points by accident playing for that offense on power play 1. And he is, of course, tied for 7th among NHL defensemen in points this season with 20 and 23 games. So I feel like Morrissey has just like replicated the breakout season from last year. Yeah. And nobody's talking about it. I wanted to shed light on that. Also, Andrei Svechnikov got off the schneid scoring his first goal, but he's only shooting 3%. So in that same game, you could get Svechnikov anytime goal with a nice little shot volume since coming back from injury at plus 200. To score a goal against the Winnipeg Jets, which is also very realistic, I think.
I actually like the Coyotes on Monday night against the Capitals. And also, Nick, this is something that Nick Martin put on to me. He's a Capitals fan and a very sharp hockey bettor. That if you are someone who's going to bet Alex Ovechkin to score a goal right now during the chase, you should also bet him in the Alex Ovechkin to score the last goal of the game market. Because they're always going to put him on the ice for the empty netter, and you're going to get like 8 to 12 to 1 on that. So that's just something to keep in mind whenever you're going to bet Ovechkin. I hate to say it, but I think the Sharks are going to be good value against the Islanders on Tuesday night on the road. The Islanders look a little banged up. Brock Nelson, Noah Dobson missed practice. Matt Barzal was sick the other day. They're missing Pelech. They're missing Sebastian Aho. So keep an eye there. I will be going against the Rangers a bit in the next few days. They're winning games, but it's unsustainable the way that they're doing it. They fell behind to the Predators. They needed to score 6 against the Sharks to win. The 5-on-5 numbers are not good, and I know that the Rangers can outplay their statistical portfolio perhaps better than any team in the NHL. But I've got a couple spots circled, like the Ottawa game on Tuesday night for sure is one that I'll be going against the Rangers in as well. And I'm going to continue to ride the Flyers as an underdog. They're playing the Penguins Monday night. I think that Philadelphia is going to be worth a look there. And then I'm interested to see where that line opens when they go on the road in Arizona, because if the Flyers are, you know, even a pick 'em, I think that's an interesting look. I don't expect any duds out of this team at all. So those are my looks this week. With more to come, you can follow us on at the Line Change Podcast to hear more breakdowns. But yeah, it's gonna the one I'm looking forward to the least is betting the Sharks, and I'm probably gonna bet them again against Detroit. I think that the Sharks will likely win. I shouldn't say likely, but I put good value on them winning at least against one against the Islanders or Red Wings coming up.
One other game I was just looking at on the Saturday slate, it's pretty far in advance, but I think it shows how far the Coyotes have come, that I would be looking forward to Arizona at Boston in a matinee to see what the line is going to be, just because of what the Coyotes have shown us, home or road this season. Very strong team, could pull the upset any given night. I don't think you're going to see like the usual plus 200 on Arizona. I think it's going to be shorter than that. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, the Coyotes, those are the spots to be backing them. And they're also kind of been tied to Noah Hanifin a bit in the trade market. Oh. And even if they don't land him, the fact that they're looking at those kind of players tells you this team is going for the playoffs. So get those Andre Tirigny bets in. You still have time.
Hammer time for sure. Make sure to check out the Line Change Podcast, the Waiver Wire Podcast, Week 9 edition, available now wherever you find your podcasts as well. So many thanks to producer Bob Bender, Pete Jensen, Michael Leboff from the Action Network. I'm Nick Alberga. This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.